This is the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 721, podcast from around the world, bringing you up-to-date podcast news on the spot. Things on the fritz. Tig Notaro, one of America's most talked about stand-up comedians, headlines her first HBO special. Our friend Tig Notaro, Boyish Girl Interrupted. She was nominated for a Grammy, Tig Notaro, and she has performed an entirely new stand-up set in front of a live audience. It was taped at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, which is a beautiful, phenomenal theater. We've all performed at that theater before. Tig's wonderful and amazing, and
But most of all, hilarious.
Hilarious. Beat cancer.
Right into the ground.
Came back from it. And now is one of the best comedians working today. So you should absolutely watch Boyish Girl Interrupted Saturday, August 22nd at 10 p.m. on HBO, or watch it on HBO Now when it comes out. But please support Tig. Please support good comedy. And I'm very excited. I'm the billboards are all over town.
Have you guys seen it yet? They're all over New York, too. Yeah, they're great.
I'm super excited to see it. Yeah. So that is it. HBO Now or HBO August 22nd at 10 p.m. Tig Notaro, Boyish Girl Interrupted, sponsoring our little episode of the Nerdist Podcast. What do you got on the Nerdist Community Corkboard? Corkboard.
Eric Andress or Andress? I don't know how he pronounces it.
It's not Eric Andre.
It's with an S.
Okay.
He is a high school English teacher, and he noticed.
So it's Sarek?
Good job, Chris. Keep that name.
She said Andres, and I said like Eric Andre. She said no with an S, so I said Sarek.
Oh,
but anyway. Sarek.
Yeah,
it's a Vulcan.
Star Trek. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Anyways, is a high school English teacher, and he noticed a couple years ago that a lot of new teachers were struggling to find their footing during their first few years of teaching.
Maybe they should put their feet on.
So he wrote a book called More Than the Classroom, Four Proven Ways to Master Your First Year Teaching. And it'll be available on Amazon starting August 28th. Again, it's called More Than the Classroom, Four Proven Ways to Master Your First Year Teaching.
So what Eric's promising you is four proven ways to get teaching that first year.
That's all you need to do.
What a bold promise.
Jonah, are you teaching any classes right now?
Yeah.
Cool.
How to get laid. Get paid and get spayed.
If you get spayed.
Well, that's why you get laid first. Then you get paid and you use that money to get spayed. It's a simple method.
The way that you
said
it makes it sound like those all happened at the same location at the same time. Here's your check, here's your sex, and now you're sterile. Just get paid, laid, and spayed. That was way more delightful than I expected it to be. I'm so pleased.
You have high expectations of me.
I just did. Listen, what people can't see is the look on your face was sort of like you didn't seem like you were going to say anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So to have that come out was delightful.
Thank you.
Connie Britton is also delightful and wonderful and so fucking funny. And a lot of, I'm sure people know that Connie is funny, but she's done a lot of dramas in the last several years. But I just want people to know, in addition to being an incredible actress, like how fucking funny she is. So I love when she comes on the podcast. She's promoting American Ultra, which is in theaters now.
Yeah, literally.
Starring a Jesse Eisenberg and a Kristen Stewart, whose father is our stage manager, John Stewart.
Yeah.
One of the best goddamn people in the business.
He sure is.
Oh, he's the best. I love working with that guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
So Connie came on the show. She was in town for a couple days, going back to Nashville to do more Nashville, the eponymous series, Nashville.
Nashville.
This episode also brought to you by Blunt Talk, which is a comedy series on Star starring Sir Patrick Stewart, which premieres Saturday, August 22nd. So when you watch, you can watch Tig Notaro on the 22nd, and then also watch Blunt Talk.
Yeah.
That same night, you can watch both of them.
The DVR.
Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Ames created Blunt Talk, Bored to Death. He created Bored to Death, which is a show which our friend Zach Galifianakis and Jason Schwartzman are on, and the guy that we wish we knew, Ted Danson, was also on that.
Love to know Ted Danson.
But Blunt Talk also has Richard Lewis, Jason Schwartzman, Ed Begley Jr., bunch of UCB alums, and it's basically about a British cable news guy who's trying to conquer the American news market.
Beautiful.
And Patrick Stewart is a goddamn delight. I love that guy. God, he was so much fun on the podcast. When's that going up? Next week?
July 5th.
No, not July 5th. No. We're in August, man.
What?
We're in August, friend.
The 31st.
August 31st?
Yeah, so in 2 weeks.
Patrick Stewart going up August 31st. And Blunt Talk is the show, Saturday, August 22nd. Here's the Nerds Podcast, number 721.
Oh, this is Jonah Ray. I'll be at the High Plains Comedy Festival.
With Connie Britton. This is the Comedy Britton. I'm sorry, we didn't get that. What was that?
Jonah, where are you
High Plains
be?
Comedy
oh,
Festival.
Oh, I don't have time for that, Jonah.
Denver, Colorado.
I sure wish we had time to plug your shows.
Me.
But there just isn't time.
And others.
It's just not time to plug any
this
of that.
Is Connie Britton, episode 721.
Also, go to Katie's GoFundMe page. She's trying to get a ticket to Taylor Swift.
If anyone has an extra ticket to Taylor Swift, it's at KT underscore money on Twitter.
Yep. Or just go to www.thepayer'sgonnapaypaypaypaypay.com.
And the spay and the
haters
gonna
hate,
spay
hate,
spay
hate,
spay
hate,
spay
hate,
spay
.net.
Because she just wants to play. Katie, play the thing. Play the thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
How you dress for a podcast.
I know. I'm sorry.
Why?
I just... I look like I just came from the gym because I just came from the gym.
Jesus Christ!
I know. I'm sorry.
Fucked up! I'm like, you're Scout.
Do you want to leave? I know. Scout doesn't even move. Scout doesn't even move.
Scout is like, I don't care. I basically barely made it to the car, whatever, the parking lot.
I hit the gym in the morning. Hey, I hit the gym in the morning. I do my exercising. I go to my morning meeting, and we build our program that we shoot in the afternoon.
Right. Is that how it works for you?
That's how the television works.
I'm thrilled to learn that about you. Tell me more.
Well, tell what else you want to know about. I was born in Kentucky.
Wait. Hold on. Let me get my pen.
Yeah, it's not. You don't have a pen in your hand.
I know, because who has a fucking pen? I have a phone, but I'm going to put it away. I will be someplace halfway through whatever evening. I'm like, I should have my phone out because what if something happens to my kid?
Sure. I thought you were going to be like, I should get the Mother of the Year award because I keep leaving him on the roof. You know, like you put him on the roof to load the car.
Well,
and
that's
then
a given, but that's fine. Any mother would tell you.
How's he doing?
Are we like recording right now?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. I mean, sorry. Holy heck balls.
No, you can. What are you talking about?
Heck balls is fine, but shit is not right.
Shit's not. Okay, it's not okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
How's he doing?
Yes.
He's great. He's 4 and a half.
Oh my God. I feel like when you were here the first time.
I don't think I even had a hat. Is that possible?
No, you taught. I think you were
I
think it was just because you were doing the documentary. You wanted to do the documentary.
Right.
To talk about, to basically lay out the story of what it's like to adopt
internationally and why it's so difficult and the whole thing. Right. That's been going great.
Yeah. Is that it?
No, it hasn't been going great at all. It's
not
going at all.
Why are you
literally,
doing
no. It's not, of course it's not going. I don't have time. I work at Nationals 10 months out of the year. I have a 4-year-old. I can't do everything. Why do you have to put all this pressure on me? God, I just thought we were going to have a nice conversation.
This is nice. This is good. This is a brutal interrogation of just any shortcomings that you feel like
Right, please, continue. Welcome to Life as an Actor. That's what it is.
Nice job, but not really. What?
What?
No, good
Let's
job.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that where we complain about the amazing jobs that we have.
We're talking about it. It's so hard.
Oh my gosh, this is really hard. People don't understand. Let's just not
like
even.
I'm just trying to eat breakfast and someone wants me to sign their tits.
I know.
How many tits did you sign this week?
Guess what? People don't ask me to sign their tits.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's a thing for you.
No.
Not for me.
It's actually not a thing for me either. I've signed maybe two boobs in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
I have signed Maybe I've signed. Maybe I've signed an upper chest. I may have signed an upper chest.
Not as acceptable if a dude's like, "Will you sign my dong?" Like, that's
yeah,
not...
and that's and I will say, and this is where I really applaud my fans. I've never been asked. Thank you, fans.
I really like Nashville. This is where I can say
I have the best fans in the world. They don't ask me to sign their peni. Thank you.
So one person has multiple. If a dude had multiple penises, I would sign it because I'd be like, well, that is a medical oddity.
No, of course, but that has never happened.
Okay, good.
That doesn't happen.
It's you know what bums me out is that we literally don't hang out ever anymore.
I know.
But I understand. I know.
Well, I have a good excuse, which is that I am, in essence, living in Nashville, Tennessee.
You're living in Nashville, and you're a mom, and it's your free time. I would imagine the little free time that you have is probably devoted to your child, as it should be.
It is. It really is. But then, yes, it's always devoted to my child. But we have like a 2-month hiatus during the summer. So, and I was back in LA for a brief period of time. So you can be mad at me about that.
However,
you should be super, super pissed. However, the reason that I didn't call you,
mm-hmm. yes,
because you are number one on my list.
I don't feel like that's true.
What are you talking about? That's always been true.
I want to see this list. Where's this list?
It's back there with my pen and paper.
Oh well, okay.
Yeah, it's back there with my pen and paper.
Yeah, I don't want to make
so
you go
far,
get it.
It's
yeah,
behind Scout and stuff.
Scout's
guarding it.
I don't want to make you pull out those physical spreadsheets that you carry
right.
everywhere.
I do.
To show
I do.
People.
I'm known for that.
Yeah.
Yes, and signing penises.
I know. I'm not number one. Number three, maybe.
Maybe.
But definitely not. Definitely not number one.
Who should we? Should we talk about this? Should we talk about who should take responsibility for the fact that after however many years of friendship?
16, 15, 15 years.
Is that all?
I've known you for 15 years. 16
really?
Years. Yeah.
Okay.
16 years.
November 7th.
I don't know the actual
how
date.
How do you know that so perfectly?
Because I became friends with you when I was working with Jen Jostin on House of 1,000 Corpses,
right.
And we shot that in 1999, which
oh,
was 16
good.
Years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that's
I just
amazing.
Did the quick math in my head.
Wow.
Yeah. Before wow. that, we'd never met.
Nope. We
at
had
all.
Never. No, I did not know who you were.
But I was really good friends with your twin sister. I never met your twin sister.
No,
but you do have a twin
happen.
Sister.
I do.
What is she? She was
her story?
Yeah.
She is my twin sister,
okay.
And that and a quarter will not get her a cup of coffee.
What?
Because you can't buy a cup of coffee.
It's not for
a quarter
anymore. It's like $4.
But I still love that saying so much, so I just say it.
I think you should make. I think you should make it more contemporary. And be like that and $3.79 will get you a cup of coffee. You know, because it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Advice taken.
Yeah,
duly noted. I will. I'm going to work on that.
You need to update your old timey lingo.
I will.
Nice games,
wow,
but I respect
wow.
you as an individual. You know, like just like try to contemporize.
Please don't call my lingo old timey.
That and a quarter will get you a cup of coffee is old timey lingo.
I know.
It predates
but,
both of us by decades.
Okay, you're right. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But you know, we are getting to a sensitive age where anything referenced as old timey, you know, it doesn't feel good.
Back in the old days,
back
we used to watch
days,
Caddyshack on the VHS.
In 1999, when we first met each other in Los Angeles, California,
back in the 1900s.
Yeah.
Oh, and
back in the 1900s. When you said that, it legitimately sounded like, you know, Westerns.
But it's real.
But it was real.
Absolutely.
That was real. Who's your demographic on this show? Were any of these people alive in the 1990s?
It's fetuses 3 to 7 months.
Right.
It's our demographic.
Yes, exactly.
So
that
no.
seems logical.
The answer's no.
And rescue dogs.
Rescue. Yeah, for Scout. Scout's bringing in the rescue
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, good for Scout.
Yeah, it is. It does freak me out that I meet grown adults with children who are like, I used to watch you on Single Now when I was a kid. And I'm like, don't. Did you have to say that last part?
I know. It's not.
It's really
it's
strange.
Not, it's not pretty.
The good news is, though, that we're still young,
right.
And got tons of shit to do.
Yeah, we're still kicking.
Yeah.
We're still making it happen.
We're still. This is still a dream.
You
a dream
went to the gym
factory.
This morning.
I went to the gym this morning.
Yes, that's impressive. I got up at 6:30 with my son this morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Could just, you know, you could just do curls with your child.
I do.
And then just like bench press.
Let's be clear. That is my exercise at this point.
Because then you guys get to spend time together and you get to exercise.
Okay. Well, that's partially my exercise. The other part of it is my kid doesn't watch that much TV.
Mm. What does that mean?
Well, yeah. It means that I like to say that I preface any story where I talk about how much TV my kid watching TV, I always say he doesn't watch that much TV. And now I'm about to tell you a story of him watching TV.
Okay.
Like these kids' shows, they all have like these really, really poorly produced little exercise things that happen either before or after them.
Okay.
So that's my other exercise. There's something called Where in the World is Hooper, and nobody on your show is going to understand what that is because none of them have 4-year-old children.
Who's Hooper and why did he Hooper supplant Waldo?
Let me explain.
Okay.
Hooper is a gopher.
Oh, okay.
And he goes on world travels.
He's probably underground if he's a gopher.
Nope.
Well, then he may not be a gopher.
Because he looks like a gopher. Maybe he's a guinea pig?
All right. Well, he's some type of small rodent.
Yeah, he's a small rodent.
Who's traveling the world.
But he wears glasses and he travels the world and he also exercises. So we do a little exercise with Hooper every once and again. I did that this morning.
What kind of exercise does Hooper do? Is it like burrowing into the earth and
it's a good question.
Eating grubs?
Nope. Because it's really not that literal.
Okay.
So what he does is he'll have a different exercise based on this morning it was camping. So he'll then do little moves like it's pretty simple. Like camping is basically just looks like marching.
Sure.
And then they also do like rowing a boat, which
you know, I don't mean
camping.
To get critical, but this sounds really dumb because gophers. First
you
of
asked
all,
about my exercise. I told you this is what I did this morning.
They're just teaching kids flawed science about gophers. Now your son's going to see a gopher in the wild and be like, "Let's go camping."
You're not wrong.
And not only will probably get attacked by the gopher for being threatening, but then the gopher's going to go, "Well, that's not camping, you're just marching in place."
Right, except that I actually would argue that what you just described is also never going to happen.
Okay.
Because I've never heard of an attack gopher, and I've also never heard of a gopher in the wild explaining what gophers actually do and don't do.
Well, I guess you never saw the movie Caddyshack. They dance,
you know,
they ruin golf courses.
Corrected.
Right.
You're completely 100% right. And I love that movie. So you're so right.
Okay, good.
Ah.
Good.
Thank you.
Those are the types of old-timey movies we watched.
Yes.
In the 19...
Mary and Joseph. You have to do it again. Are all these reviewers or can I...
No. Those are water nubs all available to you.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, you can have
just
any
for
of
the,
those.
For the audience listening,
any of those,
I was
of those
just given
nubs.
Three very small waters.
Yeah, I know.
Which I'm, you know, I'm great. It's great. It's do, great.
Do you ever eat... the like your kid's food along with him?
Yeah.
So you're used to like eating tiny things, right?
Yes.
little jars
in
of
fact,
strained.
In fact, most many evenings my meal is basically whatever my kid didn't end up eating. It's like a third of a plate of mac and cheese. You know, the Hollywood diet is really greatly perverted when you become a mother. The years and years that I spent sort of really focusing on what I eat because, you know, you're an actress in Hollywood, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. Forget it. When you're a mother, it's like, mac and cheese. He didn't eat it? Hell yes.
Yes.
This is happening, my
this
friend.
Is, this, I don't want this
French
to go to
fries. I am starving. I'm having some fries. So
it's the new, it's a, yeah. And don't make your kid eat paleo.
No.
By the way, just
no.
So you could.
Well, good, by the way, good luck trying. As it turns out, you can't force a kid to eat anything.
Not at all.
So, yeah, that's a thing I've learned.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. Yeah.
And how have you been finding the mothering experience these last few years?
It's amazing. You know, I mean, that sounds sort of cliche. You know, it's all the things, all the cliche things that people say. It's amazing. It's life changing. In incredible ways and also astonishingly, you know, terrifying ways. But, you know, it changes your life so, so hugely and impactfully. And the only thing that makes that survivable is the fact that this kid is so incredible and every single day, like, provides such a level of joy for real that you just you just go with it, and it's like, wow, I can't believe this is my life. It's
so it's like getting like a really cool Xbox.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Guess what? Don't have any kids anytime soon.
Physically, I'm not able to. So
okay.
It's not.
Okay, right. Well,
I had my ovaries removed.
I didn't want to pry.
No, no.
Thank you for being so honest about that. Thank you for your honesty. Okay.
I just didn't think I needed them, you know?
Yeah. I think that was probably a valid conclusion.
I just felt superfluous.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very career oriented right now, and I just don't want to personally
get pregnant.
You seem
really ambitious. You seem really ambitious.
I could see I'm finally at a point in my life where I'm like, okay, I think I could see that now. I had to get my shit together first.
Yeah.
But you've always kind of had your shit together.
No, I haven't.
Really?
Really?
Maybe compared to me, I always felt like you did.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's an easy comparison.
How dare you agree with what I just said?
I mean, you know, I'm subtly agreeing with what you just said. I'm trying to be a polite guest.
Did I ever pass out on your floor?
I think you passed out on my porch once.
I'm so sorry.
I think honesty is important.
Okay, good. Well, this was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. We've already said it was 16 years. You did the math on that.
I did the Corden show with Carla Gugino.
Oh, you did?
Who I had since become pals with when she was on the podcast a few years ago. But I had told the story about the first time I ever saw her in person was at your house.
Yeah.
And it was at a party. And I was so terrified to say hi to her.
Yeah, you used to be super shy.
No, well, I was and I wasn't.
Yeah, well, you weren't when you were wasted.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. I was so much more courageous then.
Yeah. Glug, 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 glug. You had a lot of liquid courage then.
No, but I was too terrified to say anything to her.
I remember that.
And so I never said hi to her. So on the Corden show, he had me like redo try the moment
over.
Oh
my gosh, really?
Yeah. So I redid it, but then I did a dumb pratfall where I kicked the table over and knocked water everywhere.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Realized that if I had pratfalled 1 inch further in, I would have shattered her shins. So fortunately, I didn't fucking ruin that.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that that didn't happen at my house.
That would have been really awkward.
Yeah, it would have been super awkward.
In a reality, and that did happen. I did shatter Carla Gugino's knees and ruin her career from then forward because she wouldn't have been able to walk.
Right.
Again.
I mean, that would have actually and it would have been in my house, and maybe there would have been lawsuits. But yeah. She's pretty cool.
So she's on your property, right?
Exactly. Which, you know. Thankfully, I don't think she would do.
God, you're such a
She's cool... not a litigious gal.
No, you have such a cool group of friends. That was such a nice her and Johnny Silverman and Lauren Graham.
Yeah.
Such a nice
what a little crew. And you know, Rob Zombie, Rob and Sherry.
Rob and Sherry.
Yeah.
God. Do you ever see anyone anymore?
I do. Yes, I haven't seen Rob and Sherry in years. They moved, right?
They've been in Connecticut for
yeah. They
years.
Are in Connecticut.
Like,
okay,
sold their house here. They moved.
Right. They're
they moved
they're
years
gone.
Ago.
I see Carla a lot. I see Lauren a fair amount, but she's sort of I mean, it's really I know you're really really sensitive and upset about this, but it is really hard for me to see people because I don't live in Los Angeles anymore, basically. But yeah, I do see them.
I did
sure.
just come through Nashville.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God. You don't understand. This is I am trying so hard to be cool right now and
yeah, baby, I got shit to do.
Yeah, and give you the benefit of the doubt. But like you just said to me that you came through Nashville.
Yeah,
like that is inexcusable.
God, you know, this relationship
that is
so
no,
suffocating.
No, no, no. This is, yeah, you know what? Okay, I'm sorry, but I am going to make it this way. This
well,
is how
fine.
We are going to be.
Fine, I
and
guess I just got to contact you every time I come to Nashville.
Yeah, 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 you do. Oh. That's what is required from this
okay.
relationship.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to breach the terms of our agreement. I performed at Bonnaroo, so I just kind of came through Nashville. Have you been to Bonnaroo?
I've never been, and I can tell you now, as even though I got really, really angry there for a second.
That's okay.
That I wasn't in town.
Okay. I still think your anger is justified, to be honest. I still think it's okay.
I do too.
On
but,
principle.
But I am really...
I didn't even again, try.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just trying to be a really nice guest, as I keep explaining.
Do you... Which is nice, because I don't know if I was a nice guest when I used to come to your house.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I think I was always...
You were fine. I mean, yeah, you were totally fine.
You know, when people get up in this register...
I do think you did pass out on my porch.
I probably passed out on your porch.
I think you were great.
And I probably got drunk and hit on everyone, except for Carla Gugino, who I was afraid to talk
right.
to. Right. Which is silly, because she's so nice.
Yeah, she's so nice. But she is very, she is intimidating, I would think, as a guy, for sure.
I think I had the benefit of, you know, the first time I met you, it was in a group of people.
Right.
And so it's not like I had to walk up to you at a party. No. We were just all hanging out.
It was all just, yeah. It was just all pals.
Yeah, we were all
just pals. But I actually, in truth, I don't really remember you being that crazy and out of control at my house when I would have people over. Because remember, I used to have people over all the time. It was so fun.
It was fun.
It was really fun. But because I actually, I don't know if this is going to make you feel better or worse, but because I actually remember thinking, like, having people describe some of your antics to me, some of our friends, some of your, in air quotes, friends,
sure.
describe some of your antics and sort of my response being, really? Because he's just always seems like such a nice guy.
What antics?
Whatever. You know, I'm not, hey, it's a long time ago. I'm not going to go there. No.
I think what did I do? I don't know. I think I really don't remember.
I know. Of course you don't remember.
I don't
remember. Because you were wasted.
I don't remember doing anything too crazy. I wasn't like a, let's go break into the library. Like,
no,
I wasn't that kind
of
a guy.
No, nothing like that.
I wasn't that kind of
and
a guy.
And by the way, those were the years when we were supposed to be doing that kind of thing. No, you're not, kids. Don't do that kind of thing.
Don't do that.
You could turn out like Chris.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't do it.
I guess one might argue that all that shit paid off. Am I right? Because it's all... Oh, no, I guess.
Wow.
I really hate to think what would... But you always seemed pretty stable. I hate to think what would have happened if I had... There's an alternate universe where that guy... One,
I know,
and he might be dead on your porch.
Yeah, exactly.
You might have just thought I was passed out on the porch, but just dead.
I mean, actually, it makes me that genuinely makes me very moved to realize that guy didn't win. I'm really so happy about that. That would be so sad if that guy had won. Thank God that guy didn't win.
Hey, Connie, it's Hardwick. You know, can I borrow some money? Can I sleep on your... I'll babysit. I'm good with kids. Oh, fuck. I just dropped my soda. Sorry, these hands.
Get off my porch. You stink. Yobi, get away from him. But
I'm
mom.
Like a pet.
But mom. Get away from him.
I'm like a pet.
No.
Let me sleep in there. No.
I sick my dogs on you.
I don't mind. Oh, this is the third time this week I've been attacked by someone's property animals. I've been I could have come be a nanny, like, yeah. You know, I grew up in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm from Memphis.
Oh, wow. I forgot that part.
It's totally different than Nashville, though.
Yes, I've never been to Memphis.
It's okay. But
yeah.
Nashville's such a great town. Do you think you'll just stay there when the show's done?
Interesting question. I have been pondering that a lot lately. It is a very nice place to live and great place to raise your kids.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. And I've made some wonderful friends there. So
you better,
I don't know.
You better put a guitar in that kid's hands right now so he can start.
Please. Do you think for one second that the kid doesn't own every possible musical instrument and have the best kind of each one? I mean, we're doing a show about music in Nashville, Tennessee, where we have access to the most amazing everything. He's taking guitar lessons at school, which in and of itself is adorable.
Yeah.
And they make... And so... I'm going to speak about somebody on my crew that I hope he will hear this. Danny Rowe. Love you.
Danny
Rowe said, I'll hook Yobi up with a guitar. You know, we like, of course, like we have these amazing contacts at Fender and whatever. So, and he got him, you know, a kid guitar. Beautiful. And the guitar teacher at Yobi school was like, this is a guitar that I would play. But Yobi comes home from his guitar lessons, and each guitar lesson, his teacher puts a freaking sticker on this beautiful, priceless... There is an accumulation of every kind of superhero and princess on my son's beautiful guitar.
That kind of makes it cooler, though, to be honest.
That argument has been made. And I'm like, maybe, but not when it's... You know, Olaf from Frozen.
No, shit's supposed to be...
I mean, this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about Bonnaroo, you know, 78.
I'm telling
which,
you,
by the way, Bonnaroo
when,
wasn't around.
When he's a grown-up, he'll look back and think that shit's rad. That's going to be cool.
Okay. All right. All right.
I mean, guitars are meant to be played. You know what I mean? They're meant to, they're meant to be all scratched up and put shit on them.
True.
And, you know.
Yes.
I mean, it's not...
Okay. I feel better. Thank
okay,
you.
Good.
I feel better.
Good. Good. Just... How many weird country awards shows have you been to at this point?
Not as many as you might think, but CMAs I've been to, I think, every year.
Yeah.
Which is really... CMAs is really fun because... everybody's so, like, everybody in Nashville is so nice.
Yeah.
So it's like the Oscars, but everybody's just way more laid back.
Without the sticks up their butts?
Without the sticks up their butts and a lot worse behaved. And that's saying a lot, you know, considering the Oscars, but really just not well behaved.
That's
and
kind
just
of
f- having a great time.
That's kind of fun, though.
Oh, no, it's so fun. That's the thing. It's just a blast.
I think the CMAs were going on when I passed through Nashville and didn't call you on the way to Bonnaroo because a lot of the streets were closed off.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was.
I think it was. I think that might have been. There are a lot of them. There's like the CMAs, there's the CMTs, I think, or I don't know.
CMTs and A's? Come on. What? These are the
See,
kinds
country
of
music tits and ass. Thank you. Good night.
No, I wasn't gonna. That's it. Now the show's over.
Yeah, done.
Because you just
you know what? I'm done with you.
Wait a minute. I'm surprised it took this long
well,
to get to
you know
this
what?
Point.
I'm still not over the fact you came to Nashville and didn't call me. So
you
I'm
weren't even there.
Yeah, I'm done.
How convinced was you weren't even
bye-bye.
There?
Bye bye.
Oh, man.
What if I actually just really walked out right now?
That would be it would be hilarious. But it was also whenever
and
someone
then
does,
you just heard a big door slam.
There isn't even a door. Oh, you mean on here? Yeah.
Yeah.
You, hear that you know, I'm always interested when someone does the comedy leave.
Right.
Like I'm leaving. I always think, how what's the acceptable length of time before you turn around and be like, okay, I'm acknowledging this was a bit, or at what point do you just fucking leave and then that's it?
Well, I mean, that really, it would only be the commitment to truly leaving that would make it just the best.
Yeah.
But this is interesting to me that you actually have had a lot of comedy leavings.
Well, that's what comics love that bit, though. It's like where you're like, that's it, I'm leaving.
Right.
And then they'll start, then they'll come back and go, all right, let's order.
You sounded like Richard Kind just then.
Did I really?
Yeah, that's it, I'm leaving.
That's it, I'm leaving.
Oh, did you see Inside Out?
Oh, no, I didn't see it because I heard it was really sad.
It's super sad. Oh, yeah, with you and all your emotional baggage. Yeah, you might struggle a little.
How dare you?
You might struggle a little
How
bit.
Dare
it
you?
Might be a little bit of a tearjerker.
There's one emotion that falls asleep on another emotion's porch.
Yes, that
so
emotion might have a hard time.
Specific.
That guy, the guy who died.
I heard it was really kind of a tearjerker.
Yeah,
and I don't.
But the biggest tearjerker in it is Richard Kind plays this lovely kind of clown person. Like
yeah.
clown thing. I don't know. I can't describe it. The point is you didn't see the movie,
you could,
so forget it.
You're just
it.
Not trying.
Yeah.
You're just not trying hard enough. You could. And you just decided
it would,
to drop
because
the ball.
Honestly, I really, it was a while ago and I had a lot on my mind. So I was kind of hoping you had seen it so then you could have taken the ball and run with it. But I like to talk about Richard Kind whenever I can.
This is what I always remember.
Children
about
out there,
bring
go
up
look
Richard
up
Kind,
Richard
and then
Kind.
You don't follow through. This
I'll
is
always,
why we stopped hanging.
I
out.
Will. Oh, that's why. Oh my God, you were so blaming me for this. That is. I'm so mad. So mad.
You wouldn't tell me what shit that you heard.
I'm
that
gonna
I
comedy
did.
Leave again.
Oh no, please don't. Please don't. I'll comedy stop you, Kyle. Comedy bar the door.
He's comedy doing it.
I'll comedy do it. When do you have to go back to Nashville?
Day after tomorrow.
Oh man.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm shooting at the Opry on Thursday morning, and it's also my son's first day of school. And I just realized this as I was coming over here, and I'm like, oh, I know they're going to give me some crazy like 6 a.m. call, and then how am I going to be able to take him into his first day of school?
Oh,
pretty stressed about it.
Yeah, I think maybe you just don't send him to school.
Right. And just have him come to the Opry and shoot that day and then send him to school for his first day on Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Because his mom's on a big TV show and you need to let them know
yeah,
what's up.
Yeah. Hey, fuck you and your your school. Fuck you, Montessori Center.
I don't know if you're familiar with my show, but it's named after this fucking city. And he will go to school when I say he goes to school.
Frankly, I don't want any of you kids going to school on Thursday because Mama's got to be at the Opry. School's canceled.
I remember my mom told me there was just like a story within our family for the longest time that one time when we were in Las Vegas, they were shooting an episode of Charlie's Angels there. Not the movie, so this really dates the story.
And I mean, really dates it. Wow.
Really dates the story.
Wow.
I was alive in the 70s.
That's so cool.
And
this is like
doesn't feel cool. It feels like a bummer. Actually,
like honestly, that's really cool.
No, and yeah. The way you're saying it doesn't.
No.
When your voice goes up, that upspeak suggests that you don't.
It's emphasis. It's emphasis.
Okay, but you're kind of shaking your head around in
that's
a way that
I
makes it
emphasis.
Seem like
no, it's not. For emphasis.
Your hair is so vibrant. How does she do it? The look.
Shut up about my hair.
I just put a little leftover mac and cheese in my hair every night.
It's got so much mac and cheese
So much mac and cheese body.
Wait, please go back to your story about Charlie's Angels, because I do genuinely think this is really cool.
Okay, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
I'm totally being sarcastic serious. Keep going.
But it was this, but they were the angels were in the makeup chair, and Cheryl Ladd was there with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. My mom described the story about how she was just like barking at the makeup person. And so
Cheryl Ladd was?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so
I always thought she was the nice one.
And so maybe she was having an off day. Of course, when I was younger, my mom would tell the story. It was like we had formed an entire story around this person.
Sure.
What a bitch she must have been. How
well,
terrible. What an awful.
That's what we do with our actors, don't we?
And so, but now that I'm much more experienced and wise, I wonder, I'm so curious to know what the facts were around that.
Yes.
How many times have you been in a situation where you're just not aware that you're being watched and you sort of just let your guard down and someone just forms an opinion based on, you know.
That never happens to me.
Never. That
no.
Doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, just always on my best behavior all the time.
Do you feel like you have to be?
Yes, but I'm not. I'm wish I was, but I'm so not. And you're right. And you know, it is dangerous because people take the whole actors' lives are everything's always taken out of context 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And particularly in the hair and makeup chair, that is sacred space.
Right.
I'm sorry. Nobody should have ever told a story about her sitting in the hair and makeup chair with a cigarette. Whoa, that really dates the story. If there's anything that dates that story, is the fact that Cheryl Ladd was sitting in a hair and makeup trailer smoking a cigarette.
But they're actually sitting in the casino. They were shooting in Vegas. They were
in a
casino.
Okay,
you can
never
actually
mind.
Still smoke in casinos, I guess.
I guess that's true. We went to Vegas together, didn't we?
Yes, we did. For Rob's
birthday.
Rob Zombie's birthday.
Yes.
In, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Were you?
I don't know if I should tell you that.
You don't. You know, she tell me what? What happened?
I think.
Oh God!
It's more embarrassing for me than it is for you.
What happened? Oh no! This is making me really uncomfortable. Does anybody have any mac and cheese? I need to comfort eat right now.
Do I have anything I didn't finish?
No, I'm just... No, it's all right. I got my three waters.
Okay,
good.
Yeah,
I'm
just
good.
Take your three. Yeah, why are you going. Cradling them and rocking back and forth?
I'm clutching them to my bosom.
This was in like 2001, maybe.
Yeah.
2001.
Was that long ago?
I think maybe... It was at least that long ago because I remember we were all out by the pool.
Yes.
And I...
Oh, this is coming back to me. Keep going. But I don't really remember. Keep going. Sorry.
I think I... Oh, this is... I'm a piece of shit. I
This is not going to go well for anybody. I could just tell. But now you have to go. You just got to do it. You got to commit.
You don't follow through on your stories. So I have to follow through on my story.
Excuse me.
You are excused, madam. You are more than excused.
I will comedy leave again.
Don't comedy leave. Okay, I'll tell the story. And I think I was probably...
Yes. I'd say for sure.
And I well, it's not that bad. I think I almost hit on you.
Yeah, I think that I remember that.
Because I remember talking to Jen's husband, Pete Goldfinger, and I was like, yeah, I totally want to ask Connie out or something. And I think Pete was like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that. Like, I think he was the he was the severe tire damage, do not back up.
Right.
Spikes that went up and was like, maybe you shouldn't.
But I do like have a vague sort of sense memory of that, if you will.
How would you? So I wasn't like, as, so a like, drunk person's not as subtle as they think they are?
Yeah. So I feel like there might have been some movement in that direction. Because now that you're mentioning this, when you said the thing about the pool, I'm like, right. Because I think I remember going up to the room afterwards and having some kind of girly conversation with somebody and being like, oh, I think Chris really is like hitting on me or something.
I'm so sorry.
But, you know,
but
fine.
It wasn't weird or aggressive. I think it was probably just like, hey.
Yeah.
And just sort of the...
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I'm not scarred by it.
I don't think it ever became a full-fledged like,
yeah.
So... I think it was just I think it was that thing where you're hanging out near someone a lot.
Right.
And then they get a sense, like they can tell when someone's hovering.
Does that make you feel better to remember it that way?
How do you remember it?
I mean, I don't, is the truth. I don't remember it that well. Okay. So I'm taking your word for it.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I think if it had been any more than that, you would have remembered. Oh, the time this happened.
But I don't see why that would be so weird. I mean, I guess. And what's funny is like I look back and I'm like, why would that be so weird? But I think at the time we somehow thought that would be really weird, maybe because we were all like friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. I don't know. I think it's probably just weird to have one of your drunk friends just like hovering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being,
maybe.
And being weird, and then sort of feeling like, oh, it's that's and also. I would imagine when your drunk friend is kind of drunk and gross, like that's the other part of it, you know? I mean, it's not like...
Yes.
It's not...
I think you remember yourself as grosser than I remember you.
I don't know. I feel like it was pretty nasty.
I mean, you weren't nasty. You were just... You seemed anxious. You were like very anxious in those days.
Yeah.
So it was a little like, you know, it wasn't gross, you know, when you were wasted. Like it's never fun like seeing somebody completely wasted, but you know.
But we were also, no. Okay.
But we were also of an age, where, you know, drunkenness was not, we weren't so judgy about drunkenness at that time.
Right.
Except for, I really remember the moment where I realized, I love that we're talking about your drunken days, where I realized that it was a thing for you, which was at a Japanese restaurant. Does this ring a bell? Because I remember we all were having dinner at some Japanese restaurant on Beverly or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you got there late and you'd come in a cab and you were trashed. And then you left in a cab and everybody was like... That was the first time I was like, that was the first time where it went from the, you know, Chris gets crazy Chris has a problem.
You know, what's interesting is that, and I'm sorry that this took over the conversation, but I don't have a lot of friends that I still talk to.
I'm aware. Keep going.
When I go to Nashville and I don't contact them.
Sure.
But, you know, none of my current, like very few of my current friend group really, I either just didn't know them back then or, you know, so it's really interesting to hear.
But
to
that's
hear that
understandable because, you know, I would imagine for you that was a time when you've changed a lot and you've made different friends.
Yeah.
I'm still really good friends with all those people, but I'm just not as much of an asshole.
I just, when you're young and you have drinking circles, like there are things that you do that are tied to that.
Right.
And then when you stop drinking.
Yeah.
And you know, also, I think I was probably just, for the longest time afterwards, I think I was really just kind of embarrassed. So I think I was
just. I'm sure. Should have been.
God damn it. I think I was just embarrassed to like call everyone up and go, hey.
Yeah. Hey. I get that.
So I guess.
But just so you know. Mm-hmm. We were always so proud of you.
We were so proud of you, Connie Britton.
You got clean, and then you did some game show.
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I
we
did.
Were so proud of
I
you.
I appreciate that.
Oh, my goodness.
Bless your heart.
Bless your little. Even though you didn't call us and didn't write, we still said, he's making us so proud.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
I absolutely would love to spend more time in Nashville because it's just such a good.
Yes.
And it's a good comedy town, too. There's great yes. comedy in Nashville.
I mean, seriously, in all seriousness, if you come back to Nashville, you should call me up because it's I have such great friends there, and it's fun. Like, we have a good time.
Is Nashville just on for the foreseeable future? Like, is it just one of those? Like, do you feel like, yeah, we're no.
We, you know, you never know with television.
You just don't. You just don't know what to tell. Well, that's weird. What, you just flipped something off. What was that? I just don't know. No?
No. I Scout was pissing me off. Scout.
Did Scout not?
Scout.
Stop.
Scout.
Would you just commit to the show already, Scout?
Scout, get it together, Scout.
Pick up the show.
Stop napping. Scout. That makes me livid. I'm livid at your napping.
Sweet, good cover. Scout, by the way, is not
moved. I think that went well.
Scott has not moved at half an inch.
No. Scout. By the way, no. But Scout has not opened his eyes.
Scout.
Let's be clear. I'm pretty sure he's deaf.
No, I think she.
Oh, it's a she. Scout is a she.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, she's not deaf.
She's not deaf at all. Just irritated now. That but she went right back to sleep. Do you guys
She's
have any little
so cute
little
puppy
pets?
Pups?
Yeah.
In fact, I just because Scout's a rescue, right?
Yeah.
I just rescued. I had. Did you ever meet Lucy, my dog Lucy? I don't think you did, but she was around because she was 14. I just had to put her to sleep this summer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which was really sad. So that left me with my other dog Josephine, and then when I just got back to Nashville a few weeks ago, I rescued a new puppy named Merle. Merle, as in Merle Haggard, because he was haggard when he came to us.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. And he is adorable, and he's like 4 months old and ripping the place apart.
And they just live in Nashville right now?
Yeah. And then whenever I come back to LA, we, you know, just do a road trip.
You road trip it?
Yes. And you know, I was shooting Friday Night Lights, we would go back and forth at the beginning and end of every season. I would drive between LA and Austin so I could take my dogs. But since I've had my son, I couldn't do it. So I kind of had to like pay somebody to do it. And I really missed it because I love the road trip. We also did some road trips. We'd go up the coast, I remember.
Yeah.
Like we went to Big Sur.
Yeah.
We stop at the Madonna Inn. Mm-hmm. We do all that stuff. Anyway, I love road trips, but this summer I had to do it because my dog Lucy was really sick.
Aww.
And I was like, you know what, Yobi, we're going on a road trip. Yobi's my son.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he was amazing. He did so great. We were in the car and for 5 days. And he just loved it. I think he mostly loved it because he could not believe that he got to ride in the car with the dog sitting next to him, like day after day after day. He was just like, this is the best thing that ever happened.
Can I make a recommendation?
Yes.
Fucking get a tour bus.
Well, guess what? I just bought an Airstream.
What?
Yes! Yay!
What time should I pass out in front of it?
I just bought an Airstream. I'm so excited.
Is it a hitch or is it a drivable?
No, it's not drivable. So I'll have to get. it's kind of a big.
It's gonna be a process.
It's gonna be a process. But I'm gonna use it as my trailer on the show.
Oh, that's awesome!
I know. I'm so excited.
Does it have a bathroom and the the works?
Yeah, it's got the whole 9 yards. It's pretty cool.
It's 9 yards long?
Yes, it's 9 yards long. That's another one of my old-timey jokes. Okay. It's probably longer than 9 yards.
I think
I don't know how long 9 yards is. Maybe it's shorter than that. I don't know.
9 yards is 27 feet.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Periodically reminding us that you're the nerd.
Well, some of my faculties came back after I stopped deadening them with.
I know, I see that.
But I always wanted to do a tour bus across the country.
Yeah,
because then you can really
that'd be amazing.
It does because sometimes when you're driving by yourself across the country, you can feel a little trapped. Where you're like, oh, I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere, and I have to keep going because I can't just stop here.
I know, but I don't know. I love it. I find it very meditative. But a tour bus would be really fun, too. But it is fun to also stop places and stay in, you know, crazy, weird hotels, you know?
Yeah, I remember. I wonder. even though it's, I've lived a lot of life before the internet,
yeah.
I still go, how did my parents and I make it across the country without,
I know,
without Matt, without a GPS and.
You know what it was? AAA triptychs. Did you have that?
I'm sure my parents did. We also had a backseat full of fucking maps that.
Yeah, maps. I tried to buy a map recently. On our road trip, I tried to buy a map because I wanted Yobi to see where we were going. You cannot buy a map.
No.
You can't buy a map anymore. Anywhere. Every single gas station we went to, no maps.
Really?
Except for maybe.
Did you tell them who you were? Because maybe that would have.
I did.
I am on a show.
The glassy-eyedness with which they looked at me was distinctive.
That's not true. Your show's really popular.
It's real popular.
You're on tons of stuff that people love. You're good.
Well,
you're good at stuff.
It's, you know what?
You're in the
it's
best just, season of American Horror Story. I'm gonna fucking drop that one.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun one.
Have you been watching the show? Nah.
It's too scary for me.
I watched three seasons.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that it was too scary for me. Because I love horror stuff. I think what happened is they were writing all these crazy storylines and then at the end just willingly not paying them off.
Right.
Like yours had an arc to it, yeah. And at the end it all paid off.
Yeah.
But starting in season two and then into season three, they just wrote all these crazy storylines, knowing like, oh, we're gonna fish people in with these crazy storylines, and at the end, just not even trying to pay them off. And I kind of feel like, you have a responsibility to try to pay some shit off if you lay that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got frustrated and I stopped watching after season three.
Okay.
And also, you weren't on the show anymore, so I was like, well, fuck you guys.
Good one.
How dare you?
Good one.
Yeah.
Except it's not really their fault.
What?
Because I did sort of go off to Nashville.
I should wipe the dog poop off the building.
I know. You really should.
I was upset.
You should think things through.
I don't.
You just got to think it through before you sling the poop.
Throw poop. Okay. Think then throw poop.
Yes. Think first. You can get the poop scooped up and ready.
Yeah.
Just give it a thought first. And then if you decide not to throw it, well, you got a handful of poop.
Yeah, I guess. You're the only one who understands me, poop.
Yes. I know. Poop, I love you.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a bag of poop.
Hmm.
Connie, this is ridiculous that it's been this many years.
I know. And that the last time we hung out was talking on your podcast.
On a podcast.
It's really.
I'm
ashamed.
Things are good. I got a really nice girlfriend now.
I know you do.
What?
I know. You know how I know?
No.
Because I follow you on Instagram.
No.
Yep. But now that I've said that, I'm opening a can of worms.
Why?
Well, because I have a private Instagram, and that's where I like follow people. So you can lurk people. I lurk.
Yeah. So.
I know, and I have to say, now that I've seen you and your like fancy girlfriend, I'm like, it begs the question: can you really call yourself a nerd anymore?
What are you, the internet?
Is that happening? Are people asking you that question?
Oh, they've always asked me that question.
Well, really, they shouldn't have always asked it because you were definitely a nerd. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Am I right? I mean, I'm here to vouch for that right now.
the uncomfortable ball of anxiety that used to hover near ladies. You know, I think that term really sort of is defined by how intensely people are into things, how much it's more of a process of how someone's brain works and how they like things. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I still think I am, but if other people think I'm not, then that's their prerogative, I suppose.
No,
but,
I think you are. Stand tall, nerd.
No, but I'm a hunter. I really had to fight the, you have perfect posture.
I don't know. I somebody else said that to me recently. I'm like, really? I never noticed.
Because you're a confident human being, and you stand tall, and you have the strength of your convictions.
Right. Except when I do my comedy departure, my comedy leaving. I did not commit.
I'm glad that the main reason that you, the secondary reason that you came here first was, of course, to hang out and catch up and.
Yeah, and since you don't call.
Talk about how creepy I was.
Right.
Was that you're an American Ultra.
Mm.
And I'm so glad Is American Ultra, you would say that that's a comedy.
Oh, it's totally a comedy. 100%.
People,
it's a comedy. It's so funny.
Selfishly, I want you to also do more comedies because you're so fucking funny. And I feel like you're denying people how funny you are. By not doing more comedy.
That is very sweet of you, but I agree with you because and in fact, in American Ultra, I am more a straight man in America, straight lady, woman in American Ultra. But I want to do more comedy too because I love it. It's so fun.
Do you think is it hard because of Friday Night Lights in Nashville? And I mean, because you did, but you did shit tons of sitcoms before that.
Well, yeah, I mean, not shit tons, but I did. You know, I did 4 years on Spin City, and that was with some of the best comedic actors around, including Michael J. Fox and Richard Kind.
Richard Kind,
but. You know, and I always try to, you know, with Friday Night Lights, I would really always try to get sense of humor and comedy in there. And we did, even though the tone of the show, of course, was dramatic. And I try to do that, too, in Nashville. But I miss it.
I mean, there are parts of Nashville that are quippy.
Yeah,
there are parts
for sure.
of it that are quippy and light and sort of, you know.
I mean, every chance I get, I try. But, you know, there's a lot of drama in Nashville. So,
right.
So, you know, it's hard to, you're just trying to find the comedy through the tears.
You should just show up in a clown suit one day.
Yes.
And not reference it.
Right, exactly.
See if it gets through.
Nobody would think that was
weird. We need to talk about what's going on. And then you just got the big.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would work.
I don't see why not.
I think we could fit it in.
You know, the thing is, when a show's been on for enough seasons, you can start doing weird shit like that.
Yes, yes. And we're getting there. We're getting there. Season 4 of Nashville coming up.
Oh my God, I can't believe it's been on 4 years already.
Yeah, I know. I know. My son has literally grown up in Nashville. Isn't that crazy?
That almost his entire life
has
been in Nashville.
He was barely 1 year old when we moved to Nashville.
What part of Africa was...
Ethiopia.
He's from Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he might end up just growing up in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
LA is such a weirdo place.
Well, I mean, I really do like it here, but I have never liked the idea of raising a kid here. So, you know, we might stay in Nashville. I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot.
Like, where do you raise a kid in LA? It's like a kid growing up in the Hollywood Hills feels weird. It's like it's neighborhoody in the sense that there are houses near each other, but no one, I mean, like most people in Los Angeles, except there are some small pockets that are like neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Most people do not ever talk to their neighbors.
Right, right. That's true. Although I have to say, I do live in a very neighborhoody neighborhood.
Oh,
my
good.
Same house where I lived all those years ago, but I have a lot of friends who live there, and it does, you know, I actually have two new neighbors on either side of me, and I had them both over when I was home briefly over the summer, like, you know, had them over for cocktails and dinner, and it was fun.
Sure, you had two people over that you didn't know, and nobody could hovering out there in the world. It's fine. Listen, it's totally fine. I guess I just didn't live in proximity.
I am a neighborly person. I do that.
I actually think I don't. Without giving specifics, I think I actually don't live very far from you.
Oh, really?
To be honest.
Good Lord. You're just digging it deeper and deeper.
I know.
You live in the same...
I'm just going to start taking selfies in front of your house and sending them to you. Look! Where are you? I've been on this porch for 14 years! I should do that just as a...
I was like, wonder... What's that smell? Oh, explained. I got it figured out now.
I'm so sorry.
I get it.
You know how sorry I am.
No,
I feel so bad.
Don't.
I'm so
why?
Sorry.
You should not be sorry at all.
I don't want to be drunk and creepy.
No, but you weren't. I'm telling you that my recollection is that is only a partial part of the recollection.
Okay, good. There was some good
partial.
Times,
you
right?
You were funny. We laughed.
There were good times.
There were good times. I remember. Well, I don't remember, but I, you know, fun. It's, you know, fun. We had a good time.
Was there a, did you guys ever have a karaoke group? Or did I make
no.
that up? No, that was not.
That was not me.
That was
not another
that
one of your
group.
Group of friends.
Hey, whatever. I was seeing other groups.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Clearly.
I was seeing other groups.
That was the B team. That was the B team. I wonder if you still hang out with that B team.
Actually, I don't.
Yeah, I didn't think
that,
so.
That karaoke group.
Nope.
It just things get, it just changes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It's more the more responsibility, the harder it is to be social because you're tired at the end of a day.
Or you're
eating your son's mac and cheese.
I know, it's true. I am exhausted. I am exhausted. It is all I can do to have a social life at this point.
What are some of your favorite places in Nashville besides the weird Parthenon that's in the middle of town?
Oh, yeah. I don't get to the Parthenon too often.
Let's just build a Parthenon in the middle of... Why not?
I know.
Build a Parthenon?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. Like, the Ryman Auditorium is great. Amazing. Have you been there?
I have been inside it, yes.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
That place never gets old for me. So I just saw Dolly Parton perform at the Ryman.
No way.
Oh my gosh.
Did you meet her?
No. What? Isn't that crazy? I know. I didn't meet her. But I will tell you, she was telling this story. Oh, she's so incredible. She was telling the story of how she grew up in this... and her parents were like Pentecostal ministers and, you know, very, very Christian, very fundamentalist. And, you know, she said... And I would look around, I'd see all these women, and they just did not look good. You know, they were just not dressed pretty, whatever. And then I would look around, and I would see the town ladies of the night, and they looked beautiful. And I said, well, I want to look like them when I grow up. And so then she's like telling this whole story as she's sitting on a church pew up on stage. And she said, so, you know, that's basically how it happened. And they're pretty much in one thing on me that's real, except for my insides. And I'm like, Dolly Parton, you are my spirit animal. I mean, she's just so honest about it. And she looks amazing.
Yeah. Nico Case described her as just talking about like what a good soul she was and how focused she was. She said, Dolly Parton's just this benevolent laser.
Yeah. She's a benevolent laser of country music.
I can't believe she's
feminism.
Never been on your show.
I know. Well, you know, Dolly's busy.
No, she's not too busy to be on your show or come on this podcast, Dolly Parton. The old videos.
Come on Nashville, Dolly Parton, or on this podcast, Dolly Parton,
There is one video that I watch several times a year, and it's from 1985, and it's Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, and he's in this massive auditorium, and he starts singing We've Got Tonight by Bob Seger that then he did with Sheena Easton. And so he starts singing the song, and halfway through, Dolly Parton picks up the female part of the song. And I have to say, she sings the she kind of makes Kenny Rogers look like not a great singer because her voice is so fucking amazing.
Her voice is so amazing.
And then she starts making fun of Kenny Rogers by going like just doing the singing, like the weird thing that he
does.
And then they kind of harass each other afterwards, but she's so funny and so amazing.
And that's on video?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. If you just Google Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, We've Got Tonight.
But
she's, everything about her is so, it's so perfect.
Yeah.
It's so perfect.
Yeah. She's really, she's incredible. And also I was so, she's such a feminist too. She's just such a ball, you know, and I love that she is so honest about who she is and she wants to look, you know, the just feminine and booby and the rest of it. But she's so all about, you know, being a strong woman. I mean, she's just so cool.
If you want to see how, because I'm not sure if people really understand people who know her know, but what an incredible actual musician she is.
Mm-hmm.
That if you watch these old videos from shows in the 60s and the 70s, there's one video of her performing in a lounge and she sings a song and she's picking along with the song. And then they do a gag where she says, now imagine that was a 33 record that we're going to play at 78, and they play it three times faster.
They did that in the concert.
Oh, she does.
Yes, yes. It's amazing. And she has also the same crew behind her, the same, you know, accompanying musicians behind her that she's been with for, you know, her entire life. So they just like step up and sing the song a cappella and then proceed to do it at, you know, they increase the speed of the song. It's just so great. And she was picking up every instrument, then went off and played the piano for a little while.
Sure, why not?
Sure, because that's what you do.
Because why not?
Because you're brilliant.
What does... I don't know. This is a big topic. When you say, you know, she's such a feminist, she's so great for feminism, what does feminism mean to you? Like, as a concept, when you think of it, what does it mean to you?
Oh, it just means, you know, being... thinking of your own value as a woman and as a person. It simply means thinking about yourself in a way that is equal to everybody else around you, which I guess would mean men, but but you know, I think everybody should know their own value, men and women. It's just that I think feminism references the culture, a very sort of ingrained cultural tradition of women not valuing themselves as fully as they can.
Sure.
So that's kind of how I look
at
it.
That's a really good answer.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's really... That's a really great answer, actually. I think that's...
Well, because, you know, it's funny. I mean, I think feminism got a bad rap for a long time, and then nobody ever wanted to use that word, and now I think it's coming back into vogue a little bit.
Sure.
But I always want to ask, you know, I don't like naming things. So I always really want to ask the question, so what does this mean to me? What is this now in the world now? How is it relatable? And it's really that simple, and there shouldn't be anything scary about the word feminism, because I think truly it is simply about women knowing their own value in as a throwback to a culture where they were not encouraged to do so.
Does it feel weird to know that you're a role model? Because you are.
It just makes me feel really old.
No. Young people are role models.
Yes, that's true.
Everyone, I think because of the way that all of our lives are spewed onto the canvas of the internet in the world, essentially, everyone is a role model.
Yeah.
You can be a role model at any time, because mm-hmm. if you're putting something in the world and other people are seeing it, they're looking to you for some type of entertainment or guidance or whatever. And so I feel like everyone's kind of a role model now.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I think, too. And, you know, it's naive to think we get into these kinds of careers and... But I don't care what I'm putting out there. It doesn't matter. I'm just, you know, because if we are getting into this career, and especially with the media the way it is now, it's gonna impact people, and people are going to see it and be impacted. And I'm, you know, I'm not even going to get into an argument about, oh, well, that causes shootings or that causes kids to behave the way they do. Like, whatever. That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm just simply talking about the fact that we have an opportunity to make an impact on people. So if you choose to, you can choose to temper what that voice is out in the world. And I choose to do that. Some people don't. And, you know, more power to them. That's just my point of view about it.
You are such a good role model for people. I mean, I guess you could say, I mean, I almost feel like it's marginalizing to say you're a good role model for women. You're just a good role model for people.
Oh, that's nice. Now I wish I hadn't sworn so much in the beginning.
Yes,
but you know what?
You know
people
what?
People swear
in fucking life.
Exactly.
People
fucking swear.
I'm a fucking role model.
I'm a fucking role model.
Here's how I... this is how I made my nails look like turtles. I'm a robot. Do you follow it? You know, I actually weirdly I started following some people on Instagram that do crazy makeup stuff because there's so much artistry behind it.
Oh, yes. This is true. I know. You watch some people that... What?
I was gonna tell you an account of a woman.
Tell me. Can you say it on your podcast now?
Yeah.
She's now
going to
have so many followers now.
I'm going to... No, well, she already has a lot. I found her... Let's see. What is her... Katie, you might have to edit around some of this me looking for shit on the internet, which is never fun to listen to.
Nope. It's not actually that fun to watch either. Just going to be frank.
I think you're enjoying it.
Nope.
I think you're really enjoying it.
Nope. That's because you don't know me anymore.
I don't even know you anymore.
Yeah, you don't even know me anymore. You think I just watching you look at your phone? Yeah, that's not fun for people.
I'm busy, okay?
That's not fun for people. That's what's the problem with the world now. Everybody's just looking at their phone, even in the middle of your podcast. Looking at your phone.
I'm going to find it. I'm totally going to find it because I totally follow this person. Where is it? I'm telling when I show you. Oh, here we
How
go.
How many people do you follow on Instagram?
49.
Oh, that's not that
I
many.
Don't follow that. Her
you should
account
get a
is...
private account and you can follow along.
What good is taking pictures if I can't show the world? Tal, T-A-L underscore P-E-L-E-G. She does the most amazing eyeshadow art.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Guys, I'm here to tell you, this is amazing eyeshadow art. Hold on. Is that a... Oh, look at the Pandora's box.
Yeah, it's stunning.
Wow.
And I think she's doing it on her own eye.
I wonder how long it takes to do that. Oh, that's see, when I look at that, I just think to myself, how many hours in there in makeup chair?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like at this point it looks like she's probably got it down pretty
quickly.
Wow,
this is so incredible.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was worth the wait.
Wasn't it?
Yes. You're never getting your phone back.
Somebody, please take it. Please, you'd free me, actually. You'd be freeing me if you took my phone.
I clearly would.
How now that Yobi's at this pivotal age where he's really going to start interacting with the world technologically,
yeah.
How are you going to balance out the... I was at dinner last night, and there were parents next to me, and they clearly just wanted to have an uninterrupted dinner, so their kid had this video game,
yeah,
which was really loud.
Yeah, we don't do that.
But they didn't. But it sort of seemed like, you know, it's engaging to the kid, and they like it. But how do you balance that out? You know, like, is there tech time and not tech time? Do you force them to interact with the real world?
We don't do that. And part of the reason we don't do it is because I travel so much and I always take him with me. So we have his special, in capital letters, special plane iPad,
mm-hmm.
which he only watches on the plane. And therefore, when we get on the plane, he asks to watch, like, to watch his iPad, and he literally will sit the entire plane ride and not make a sound, except for he wears the headphones, and he always has to have the volume on, so he's probably going deaf, like, as loud as it will possibly go. And then he'll sit on the plane and be like, "Mom, did you see look at the monkey?" You know, on the plane, and everybody's you know, reading or whatever, and every once in a while people are always stunned at how well behaved he is, except for the frequent outbursts.
How much would you freak out if he said that and then you looked over and then seat across me was a monkey just reading a newspaper? Excuse me, can you please tell that child to keep it down?
Oh, wouldn't that be great if that was
really
life?
Yeah, that'd be really
if that
amazing.
Was how things worked, that would be
we'll
so
be watching
awesome.
Like Game of Thrones or
yeah
Mr.
for sure
Robot.
Game of Thrones.
We'll be watching
House of Cards,
The Wire.
Yeah loves it, can't get enough. Breaking Bad.
Loves Breaking Bad.
I can't even watch Breaking Bad because I think it's going to be too hardcore, but Yobi loves
it. He loves it.
It's really good for 4 and a half
kids. Love emotional midlife crisis cancer dramas.
Yes.
They absolutely love them.
Yes. Isn't there meth involved in Breaking Bad? I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen Breaking Bad because I feel like it's going to be super hardcore.
Now, I'm not going to do the thing to you that most people do to me with The Wire, which I still haven't seen yet, but it's worth it.
Okay.
It's worth it.
Okay.
Because it's worth it to see...
I'm sure it is. I'm
to
sure.
To see a masterpiece, to see writing, acting, cinematography, score, wardrobe. Like, everything is just meeting in this sweet spot.
Mm.
And even just to witness it as someone who makes stuff is like, God damn it. Because it's so... The way that it happens is so special and unique. It's worth it.
Okay,
it's totally
sold.
Worth it.
I know. I have to do it.
But you know what? I mean, I'm not going to...
No, I have to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. all right. Well, I guess the next time I talk to you, we'll check in. And
yeah.
I've been promising people for ages I was going to watch The Wire, and I still haven't done it yet.
I haven't either.
You know...
But I don't watch a lot of TV.
No. What do you do with your... Do you read books?
No, I just don't have any extra time. So, and then every once in a while, I will sort of sit down at the end of a day and find myself at home. I'm like, and I sit down and I sit on the couch and I pull out the remote control and I turn on the TV and I don't know what to do. I'm so lost. I'm like, what? I don't know where to start because
HGTV.
I don't...
You gotta watch HGTV.
By the way, no, I used to. When I would get, you know, every once in a while when I get sick, because isn't that the one that has like House Hunters?
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think to myself, but I wish that I could get into a show, you know, that everybody's talking about, but I watch so infrequently that I don't know where to start.
Start at episode one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they make it easy for you. Like, there's a point where they start the series where you could just start watching
from
that point.
But you have to find it on demand or whatever.
Yeah, it's really easy
hard.
Now.
No,
it's just like changing channels.
Like pushing a lot of buttons and
No,
stuff.
It's just like one or two extra
sure,
buttons. I'm
sure?
Fairly certain.
Okay.
I'm fairly certain.
All right,
pretty,
I'll try.
It's
I'll
pretty
try.
Easy.
Okay.
I think it's pretty easy. But I guess when you're shooting a single camera drama, you know, you might have a day where you work. Oh, they just needed my hand to reach in something. But I feel most of your days, especially with you're probably like 13 hours of just being on the set.
Yeah, and you know what? It's gotten a lot better, I have to admit. It's much better now than it was in the beginning. So that's good. But, you know, it's between that and being a mom and all those things. It's, you know, it just doesn't end up being a priority.
Well, I would imagine you're a super rad mom, and Yobi's very lucky to have you as a mom.
You know, he's a great kid. He's super cute. Aww. Well, if you ever visited, you'd see, but you probably
I'm not gonna hold my breath.
Okay.
I don't know when I want to perform in Nashville again, because I just did Bonnaroo, and so you can't really.
Would bring a bunch of people. We'd laugh really hard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you're gonna do that, you just can't go back to a city that you've just been to.
Yeah, and not called. Right. I understand. I know how that works. Exactly. I know exactly how it works. It's not confusing. Nothing unclear about it.
All right. So when I get to Nashville, first, now what's going to be really funny is when I call you and then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
I wasn't
serious. I'm not in town this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'm like really
Connie, it's Chris. Oh, please leave a message after the beep. Like you pretend you're a voicemail.
Wait, you know what? I will give you credit for something. You did invite me to your birthday party this year, which you may or may not even realize that you did.
I did. Yeah, no, I purposely did. And you were out of town.
I was not here. But yeah. I was like, oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, I invited you. It was a bowling birthday party.
I feel like we used to go bowling, too.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We did used to go bowling.
And that's what made you think of it?
We had so many fun.
Connie loves to bowl.
We had so many fun adventures in the old days.
Yeah, so many, yep.
This what? Sounds like you're being sarcastic.
No.
Okay, that also sounded sarcastic.
No.
That was definitely sarcastic.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
No.
Did you know? It turns out you're not supposed to speak to anybody like that. You're not supposed to speak to your pets like that, like in a baby voice. You're not supposed to speak to your child like that.
How come?
I don't know. I think it's bad for everybody's psychology, apparently. But I'm like, fuck that. What am I going to do with my baby voice?
Save it for videos of kittens and gerbils.
I guess.
Like little baby guinea pigs and shit. I think if I did have a kid, I would immediately, like, from the minute he or she could comprehend language, I would just talk to them like, hey, dude. You know, like, I would just talk to them like a person.
You would.
Instead
of a,
what is you could do?
I know, but you would be surprised, though, because you would do that, and it's actually really fun to talk to them like a regular person, because it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But you will be surprised at the impulse to want to talk to them when baby talk, because they're so cute.
I think it'd be really funny to just, like, have a baby staring at you and just absorbing the environment and trying to work out what's going on and trying to understand consciousness and communication, but just to say things like, what time do you get home from work? You know, just like weird, you know.
Yeah.
Can you, the electrician's coming today.
Yeah.
Can you let him?
I know. I do that all the time with Yobi. I'm like, let me tell you what's going to happen today. And I have these, and he just literally looks at me. He's like, Mom, stop. He's like getting to an age now where he's very communicative, but it's sort of limited to what he's interested in.
Of course.
Although he has developed empathy, which I find fascinating and so adorable. Like, there's nothing more heart-melting than when your kid, you know, just asks you if you're okay. It's like, oh, I can't believe that you're actually like a person who can ask if you're okay or
That's
not.
That's so sweet.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
That's really
it's
amazing.
Pretty cool.
So he starts school
Friday, because we've already established that we're not going on Thursday because I've got to be at the Opry and I can't take him.
You got to be at the
School's
Opry.
School's canceled.
I think that's actually a legitimate excuse to get out of school in Nashville. It's like, I got to be at the Grand Ole Opry.
I actually think it's a legitimate excuse to get out of being at the Grand Ole Opry because I got to take my son to school.
I don't know. I think it's the other way around.
You're totally right. That is always a valid excuse.
I think Friday he should show up for the first day of school with a straw hat with a price tag hanging off it in honor of Minnie Pearl.
And they won't even be, don't forget, it's Nashville. They won't even blink. They won't even think twice about it.
At all.
Not at all.
I'd say there's more educational value at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes, but don't forget, he's been going to the Grand Ole Opry since he was 1 year old.
Oh.
I mean, he's no stranger to the Grand Ole Opry.
Well, he's practically like, a music historian at this point.
Ugh. He's like, where's my playground with my friends?
Have you been to Dollywood?
No, I haven't been to Dollywood.
Is it still open? It's still open.
What's
in Dollywood? Are there rides? There are rides? Oh, I had no idea.
You've been to Dollywood?
No, one of my best friends, Julia Prescott, is a comic. She toured, and the tour was built around going to Dollywood.
Really?
So she just did that area so that she had an excuse to go to Dollywood.
Did she think it was great?
She loved it.
I've heard it's great. People dig it.
Well, maybe take a trip.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Maybe. Do you think Dolly would be there? Oh, can I tell you another great thing about Dolly Parton?
I want you to tell me as many as you want.
The other thing that she does is once you move into, I don't know if it's all of Tennessee or Nashville, or I don't even know how we got on this list. She sends all kids books. Yobi gets like a book a month from Dolly Parton, like a kid's book. Yeah. She's like encouraging literacy.
Oh my God.
I don't know who pays for it. I don't know. Suddenly we just started getting these books from Dolly Parton. He's always like, who's that again? I'm like, Dolly Parton. Cause she's, her picture's on the inside of the flap of the book.
Oh my God.
Isn't that amazing?
She's the best person ever.
I know. She's better than Santa Claus.
She is.
She's so much better.
All right. We have to track her down.
Yeah.
Get her on this podcast.
If she's on this podcast, can I be here?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll make you a deal. And then if she's on Nashville, you can come to Nashville.
Okay.
Like you will.
I would. I would go to Nashville just to meet
Dolly Parton. Yeah.
And hang out with you guys, too.
Yeah,
first and foremost, that'd be why I was coming down there.
Yeah.
And then, great coincidence, Dolly Parton also happens to be here, too. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be perfect.
I think it'd be fantastic. Done and done.
I can't believe that this has been over an hour.
Really?
Yeah. I gotta go to work.
I know, me too.
I would rather just keep catching up.
I know, but you don't make any effort, so.
God damn it.
So I kind
of. How dare you?
I kind of believe.
How dare you on my own show? I know it doesn't feel like a show because we're in a weird office right now.
Also, I can't believe we just started talking at the beginning. I didn't realize we were just going to start, which is kind of funny.
I'm sneaky that way.
So sneaky.
Because when you tell people you're starting, they go into a mode.
I know.
Because you're used to doing interviews, and so the shields go up because you're like, oh, now is the time when we start.
Right.
But I would rather people be comfortable because I want this to be conversational.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I was thinking about too as I was on my way here is that when it's an interview with somebody that you know and that you're friends with, it always feels different because you kind of can't go into that mode because it's like he's going to know if I go into the mode.
Yeah,
you know,
and I can call you out on it.
Exactly, except you wouldn't because it's been so long and you probably wouldn't really remember.
Wait, are you? Have you been in that mode this whole time and I just didn't realize it?
Exactly, this
you
is
are
the mode.
Good.
This is the mode.
You
this
are
is the
good.
Mode.
Yeah. I mean it though. I would love to engineer a dinner.
Yeah.
I'm going to take all of you guys to dinner.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Just as sort of an apology dinner from 15 years
ago. No, don't make it an apology. There's no apologizing.
A celebration of...
Love means you never have to say you're sorry.
I don't believe in that.
I know, me neither.
That's such bullshit.
It's total
People
bullshit.
Should apologize when they're wrong.
I agree.
I was wrong and I apologize. And you guys were always been so nice to me and I really appreciate it.
Well, stop.
No.
Stop.
Well, I'm going to start drinking again tomorrow.
Oh, don't.
Wait, what?
Jeez. Oh, this is... I'm getting really...
You've convinced me. You've really convinced me.
I did not do anything.
I could see it in your eyes.
I know it's
like...
one of your steps that you have to apologize. So, okay, I'll say to you, you're forgiven.
Oh, I didn't even realize that is actually, that's right. That is one
it's
of the
one
steps.
It's one of your steps. I know.
I was just doing it because I genuinely felt like I should.
You don't, though. You really don't. I'm here to tell you.
All right.
In front of God and everyone.
Oh, where? What? Where?
Yeah, I know.
What?
That's another one of my old timey sayings.
How dare you for not introducing me to Carla Gugino at your party when you knew I was nervous to say hi to her?
Oh, for God's sakes. Okay, so when you have this big dinner that you're talking about having, yeah, we'll have Carla come, okay?
Well, we're already pals now, so that hurdle's already been crossed.
I don't know about that.
Well... We emailed.
You're pals because you were on a talk show together?
No, we email occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't hang out ever.
No, because she's literally my best friend.
So you probably heard.
I've heard her mention you exactly zero times.
So she's probably talking about all those times we've emailed and been like, let's hang out.
Right. I did not want to have to go there, but you forced me to.
I forced your
hand. You literally left me with no choice.
When she asks about me again,
yeah.
Just tell her I'm going to have this big dinner.
Oh, actually.
Wait a goddamn minute.
She did. I remember now she texted me one day and was like, did she did your podcast?
Yeah, a couple years
ago.
And she said that
you had mentioned, you guys had mentioned me or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was,
so.
That's the extent of it.
All right.
So I stand corrected. She mentioned you that one
time in a
text message.
Half a time. I really liked Wayward Pines, which was that show.
Oh, yeah. Was it good?
It was really fun.
You know, I said, I'm like the worst. I don't watch. But
I think most people understand. I think all of our friends understand, like, hey, you're busy. If you don't see a thing, it's...
Yeah.
But the show was really, really fun, and she was great on it.
Yeah, it seemed really cool.
It was really cool. I'm glad everyone's still working and still doing stuff and still... Still okay.
It's kind of great. I think, and I feel like people are getting better. You know, everybody's, it's like, you know, we were kind of, I think we were all slow starters.
Yeah.
You know, at least you have an excuse.
Yeah, but I think it, you know, I'm kind of glad that I didn't peak when I was 22.
Me too. The kids that are peaking when they're 22 or whatever, I don't know how your brain handles that. I don't know how you do that.
What a bummer. I mean, because... You ostensibly could live another 60 years.
Yes.
Like a significant amount of time trying to recapture.
Or even just managing all the projections and the fame and all that stuff, you know, when it starts so young. I'm so glad I got to like fuck up and get educated.
We got to fuck up in a time with no social media. That was a gift that we didn't realize at the time.
We sound like such old people.
Well,
but it's true though. My gosh, I feel so sorry. Like these kids are like everybody. It's all about fame and having your picture out there.
Recapturing a piece of something.
Yeah.
It's gross. But also, I wouldn't have most of my career without it. It's always great.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Cause right. You're like on this. You've captured it. All the social media.
I got. What do I have to get on now? Okay. I got time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got time. I can do that. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm coming apart at the seams. I was just performing in San Jose, and Taylor Swift was also performing.
Oh, awesome.
So that's probably why she couldn't come to my show. But
yeah, probably.
But she's one that I think she's going to stand the test of time.
Yeah, she's people really respect her. I don't really know her music that much, but people who I really respect her. So that
someone just told me
she's pretty cool.
She's performing in LA at the Staples Center, which is one of the larger places where human beings can gather in an enclosed space.
But she's one of those people who will pretty much sell out the world
five times.
Yeah, yeah.
Five Staples Centers.
Yeah, I mean, she is one of the most famous people, at least in the United States right now, but maybe in the world, right?
I like to think about how funny it would be if I put up a show at the Staples Center just to see.
Oh my gosh, please do that.
As a joke?
Yes.
Oh, it'd be really embarrassing.
Wow, but what if you did sell it out?
That would never happen.
It might.
Not in a million years.
But it's worth a try.
And
if not, it would be so funny.
I couldn't sell at the Staples Center if the image of Jesus appeared on my chest. Like, there's no reality where I'm ever going to sell out the Staples Center.
I don't know. I just think it's worth the comedy. Either way,
taking videos like super excited to be here at Staples Center. It's just like 98% empty.
Oh my gosh, that would be so awesome!
All right, maybe as a joke.
I wonder how much it costs just to like reserve it. You just call up the guy, like the head of the Staples Center, Mr. Staples,
Ted
and just
Staples.
Be like Ted Staples, and just be like, "Do you have any nights free? Because I want to reserve it for myself."
Yeah, I think.
Can you do that?
I think you could just call. Yeah,
please do that.
All right,
so good.
I think I will.
And I'll be sure to let me know.
You know why? Because there would be some weird thing that would happen where people go, oh, fuck, he's playing Staples Center? Like, without realizing that it was going to be a complete failure. But some people would think, oh, my God, that's incredible. You played Staples Center? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did people show up? Yeah, you know.
Do you know that the Nashville people, they do like a Nashville tour of music and singing, and they did the Staples Center like several nights, and I think it sold out.
Oh, so I totally have a shot.
So I think you have a shot. I really do.
If I do, then you have to come out and do a song or something.
Why don't I do one of my comedy stylings? Tell people that's going to happen, you will sell out.
I've never heard anyone refer to their own as comedy stylings. I've heard it referred to other people, the comedy stylings of.
Nope,
but
I'm going to do my comedy stylings when you're D. Yeah. Yeah, Connie D.
Connie D.
There we go.
Connie D. That's your stand-up.
It's all happening.
It's just
it's
like
all
a
happening.
Like a female Andrew Dice Clay. Oh, I think that was a sketch on something, wasn't it? Didn't someone do Andrea Dice Clay on a like SNL or something years and years and years ago?
I'm hopeful that they did.
But anyway, I think you could bring that back and it'd be totally
fun.
It feels
good.
I promise you the next time I'm in Nashville, I will, and you're under no obligation to hang out with me, but I will at least let you know that I'm coming just so that, you know. But then you also have to let me know, because I can have a dinner at my house and invite a bunch of people over.
Okay, that would be fun.
Okay.
Let's say that we're going to do that.
All right.
And really do it.
I'm
But then
serious.
We have to get all the people, because, you know, everybody's scattered all over the place. But, you know, people are still here.
I would love to have you guys over. You should come
so
over to
fun.
The house. My house looks like a natural
should
history museum.
Should we have Rob and Sherry, like,
fly in
from
yeah.
Connecticut?
Yeah, we'll have them fly in from Connecticut.
And we'll have Lauren come in. She's all over the place. But, yeah, we'll do it.
Okay, done.
Right, done.
I'm in.
Great.
This is definitely going to happen.
Great podcast, guys.
Cut to 4 years from now. What ever happened with that?
I know.
I don't know. I'm busy.
But I won't even remember.
I don't think I said that. You have a recording of that. That's not me.
I don't think so.
You clearly faked that voice.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I'm going to appear at your house.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
I'm sorry.
Hello. I'm on the program Nashville. Nashville.
Wouldn't it be great if I spoke with that accent and then so just magically just put on a Southern accent?
Well, it'd be the reverse, you know, like when people see Andrew Lincoln on Walking Dead, because he's so much this character, and then they a lot of people didn't know in the beginning that he actually speaks like this.
I
and
know.
So it's very, you could do the same thing, but reverse. I think you should take a year where when you're not shooting,
everything just sounds like this,
but then don't tell anyone why you're doing it.
Right. I'm going to do that. And then people are going to be so impressed with my accent work.
She's so good.
They're going to be so excited.
You're
going to
get into more comedies, Connie.
I know.
You got to live it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connie.
And thank you for letting me do my comedy stylings when you go to the Staples Center.
These were great stylings, and we'll do some more at the Staples Center when I definitely play there.
Okay, good.
All
great.
Right.
Done and done.
This is the end.
Goodbye.
Enjoy your burrito.
Goodbye, Scout.
Bye.
That is it. I'm leaving.
That's it. You can't do my comedy leaving.
That was the...
Yeah. I'm still here, though.
Oh, my God. Is this room haunted? Oh, I scared the dog.
Oh, no. Aww.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Blunt Talk.
What? This one too?
Starring Sir Patrick Stewart, beginning Saturday, August 22nd on Starz.
What a week.